Perek Chof Tes. We're continuing the general picture. We're talking about the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, and this Perek we spoke specifically about the 8th test, which was the test of the Bris Milah, of having his bris when he was 99 years old. Now we got off on a tangent. We're talking about the Indian of Bris Milah in general. So now basically the Medrash is going to continue and speak about topics of Bris Milah and people that don't have a Bris Milah, etc. Okay, like there is Rabbi Yochanan Omer. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol machishei Hashem habayim b'Yisrael, all the people who had previously denied Hashem that are coming into Kol Yisrael, meaning a person who's a guy who wants to become a ger, right? Nimaylim b'toivasam uvertzaynam. They get their bris milah b'toivasam for their good and according to their will." Uvirat Hashem him nimolim, and they get their bris milah, they get circumcised with Yiras Hashem. I'm not sure what that means, that they get circumcised with Yiras Hashem. But the point is that when a guy wants to become a Jew, so one of the things he needs is a bris milah and to become a ger, and then he does his bris milah. It's for his good and it's according to his will because he wanted to become Jewish, so he gets his bris milah. That's part of joining the Jewish people, but he's doing it from his own will. Vafo pikein, even so. Still, you can't necessarily trust a ger until 7 generations after he converted. So that the waters won't return to its sources. Because, you know, the Medrash is saying that until 7 generations, maybe him or his descendants till 7 generations are going to return back to their Gentile state. So therefore the Medrash says, you know, you can't necessarily trust them fully as you would trust a full Jew. Rashi in Parshas Yisroi on the pasuk of Vayichad Yisroi brings a similar thing, where Rashi says till 10 generations, not till 7 generations. But aval avadim, but slaves, when you buy a slave, so you have to give him a bris milah. Nimayilim shaloi b'tevasam v'shaloi v'rtzaynam. You give them a bris milah not for their good and not according to their will. Meaning, we hold, the halacha is that you're allowed to force a slave to get his bris milah. And the halacha is you have to give a bris milah to your slaves. What if he doesn't want it? Too bad for him. You're allowed to force him. Ve'ein amun abavadim. And you can't trust an eved ever. Never trust him. Kach kol avadim, like we found in Perek Tazayin, that Avraham Avinu didn't trust Eliezer. Kach kol avadim shenimaylu am Avraham Avinu, leniskemu lehem v'lezayim b'Yisrael. So too we find that all the slaves that got their bris milah with Avraham Avinu, so neither them nor their descendants continued to be part of Klal Yisrael. It says by Avraham Avinu that he gave a bris to himself and to Yishmael and to all of his servants, all the people in his house. What happened to all the people in Avraham Avinu's house? How can we never hear of them anymore? One second. So the answer is because they're not really part of it anymore. I mean, how do we know that he gave them a bris? Shemar says the pasuk, "V'chol anshei vesa yilid bayis nimoilu." They all had a bris milah. Right, so all the people of Avraham Avinu's household had a bris milah, but they didn't really continue to be part of the Jewish people. Yeah, what are you asking? I'm sorry.
We've seen Avraham Avinu. That's the source that they're not continuing. To keep mitzvahs and stuff. So why force them? Why Allah says to force them?
Oh.
We know we cannot trust an eved.
Oh,
good. Not even if he's not a little bit the eved.
Oh, it's a good question. So the Medrash.
What? What's your joke?
What?
A little bit the eved.
A little bit the eved. I didn't notice that. What are you gonna ask?
I was asking where did they go?
Where do they go? They got mixed into all the other nations. They're not, as the Medrash says, the waters returned back to its source. They went back to their old lifestyles or whatever. Either them or their descendants up to a few generations, whatever, they all went, they got mixed in again. Oh, so your question, says the Medrash, Vulama Molon, so why do you have to give them, if you can't trust them, and they're going to go back anyways, an eved, so why do you give a bris milah to an eved? Says the Medrash, Bishvila Taira, because of Taira, because of purity. Shli Tamles Adinehem Bemacholehem Uvemishtehem, so that they won't impurify their masters with their foods or their drinks. What?
The masters are unclean.
Yeah.
Like, more than clean.
I think this is a huge chiddush over here, because we never find anywhere that a person who doesn't have a bris milah is tummy. Why? Where do we see that if you don't have a bris milah, you're tummy? It's not. There's no tumah. The Bais HaGadol, I believe it was.
That's interesting. I thought it was the opposite. If the guy is a Jew, he's not observant. So you have to be careful with the foods.
Right.
That's the whole problem, because the guy is a Jew, is not observant Torah.
Right. Because that's it, he could become tummy and make things tummy, but a guy is not tummy b'chol.
Yeah.
So the Bais HaGadol, he says it like this. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah daf nun. It says nun zayin amud beis. It's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. Lamed zayin amud beis. Akapana, the Gemara says that they made a gzera that every guy is like a zav. Every guy is like a man who had seminal emissions or whatever. Right, that's the gzera that the Chazal made. So why do we give an Eved a bris milah? To make him into a partial Jew. And then he's not part of that gzera, so therefore he doesn't make your foods impure or whatever. That's what the Bais HaGadol says. But now the next line is in brackets over here, because apparently it was taken out by some censors, but we have it. Shukal mi she'oichal ima Eved, because anyone, and you can understand why this is going to be in parentheses, anyone who eats with a slave, it's as if he eats with a dog. Just like a dog is not circumcised, so too an Eved is not circumcised. And obviously it's talking about a guy, because we just said before that we do circumcise an Eved. So it's talking about a guy. Anyone who touches, again, talking about a guy, anyone who touches a guy, it's as if he touches a dead body. Anyone who bathes with a guy, it's as if he's bathing with a mitzayra. Shehem b'chayehem kameisim uvemaisim kenivlas asada. Because a guy, when he's alive, it's as if he's dead, and when he's dead, he's like a carcass in a field. That's what it says in the Medrash over here. Ve'ein tefilasa nichnasas lifnei kadosh baruch hu, and the tefillah of a person. Okay, I don't know if it means necessarily a goy dafka. Could be it means anyone who doesn't have a bris milah. I'm not sure exactly, but the point is that ain't tefilas nechnas lefnei kadosh baruch hu. That the tefillah of such a person doesn't go in front of a kadosh baruch hu. Va'aleim hu omer, about such people, the pasuk says loy hamesim yahalalu ka. The dead people can't praise Hashem. So we're saying a person who doesn't have a bris milah, which I understood is talking about a guy, but maybe it's talking about a Jew also who doesn't have a bris milah. So he's considered, when he's alive, he's considered dead, and his tefillah doesn't go in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it says the dead people can't praise Hashem. Aval Yisrael shehen nimoilin, but a Jew who does have a bris milah, tefillah se nechnas in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Their tefillahs do enter in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'aleim hu oimer, about a Jew, the pasuk says v'anachnu nevarich ka me'atov yadilam halalu ka, and we bless Hashem, and from now and forever we're always going to be able to praise Hashem. So a Jew is able to.
I thought this was talking about an Eved that's a goy, but it's an Eved, it's not going.
It's talking about an Eved? I'm not. You want to say they're talking about an Eved who doesn't have a bris milah?
Maybe there's some namuch versus an Eved. Whereas you can have a goy who keeps Sheva, but I know you have a tzaddik.
A ben Noah.
Yeah, a ben Noah. But an Eved perhaps is sort of lower.
I'll tell you this much. From the Rishonim that I'm going to mention in a few seconds, it sounds like it's that's not the Havana, that it's talking about Dafka any guy.
Okay.
The Rishonim, they ask a question like this. It says that if you bathe with this person, which I'm saying is a guy, if you bathe with a guy, it's as if you're bathing with a Mitzayra. Now, the Rishonim understand that means that there's an Isser to go to a bathhouse with a guy. You're not allowed to take a bath with a guy. That's what the Rishonim understand. And they ask a kasha from a Mishnah, Mesachos Avodah Zarah. Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Mem Dalad Amud Beis, I believe it is. The Mishnah Avodah Zarah says that one time Rabban Gamliel was in the bathhouse of Aphrodite, and they asked him a question like, how could you go to such a bathhouse that has Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. There was a guy named Perculus ben Plosifus. He's the one who asked Rabban Gamliel this question. And first Rabban Gamliel didn't want to answer him. He said, no, I don't answer in the bathhouse. So then when they went outside, then he answered him, etc. But the point is that from this Mishnah you see that you could go to the bath with a goy. So it asks the question, it says in Pirkei Avos that you can't. That's the question that the Rishonim are bothered by. So Gois Maimonis, it's brought down in the bottom over here on the Bais HaGadol, Gois Maimonis in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Ches, he answers that if you go to bathe with a goy, you're not allowed to be within 4 amos of him. If you separate yourself 4 amos from the goy, then it's okay. But to be within 4 amos, that's the problem. That's what the Gois Maimonis says.
Not Rabbi Lezer, in the machlokes with the Rav Gamliel and the other Rishonim.
Right.
Maybe just like he's talking about the 4 amos.
Right. So that's how he answers it. He says, according to Pirkei Avos, it says it's also he's talking about within 4 amos. And Rav Gamliel, he did it with a distance of 4 amos, so it's okay. That's what the Gois Maimonis answers. The Mordechai in Maseches Avodah Zarah in Remez Tuf Lamed Tes, he answers differently. He says that no. There's a difference between if I was there first and then a guy came in which case I don't have to leave. But Pirkei Avos is saying if there's a guy who's already there, I'm not allowed to go in and take a bath with him. So the Mordechai makes a difference between whether I came first, in which case it's mutter to bathe with a guy, or whether the guy came in first and then it's usher.
It doesn't matter for us.
Right. So the Ramah in Yeridah Simin Kufnun Gimel brings this down. They bring down this Isra Halacha L'maisa that you're not allowed to take a bath with a guy, right? They go to a YMCA or something like that. You want to go to the swimming pool with a guy. The question is it mutra pi halacha? Right? So the Ramah says he passes like the Mordechai. The Mordechai says if you came first, it's mutter. If the guy came first, then you're not allowed to join him. That's where the Ramah paskins. But then the Ramah says another chiddush. He says, but Alpha Pekin, I don't understand. How come nobody is makbid on this halacha? That's what the Ramah asks. So the Ramah says, Elamai, it has to be that this whole halacha that you're not allowed to bathe with a guy is only if the guy is, if the minig was to bathe naked. So that's why you're not allowed to go bathe with a guy. But he says, but nowadays that we bathe with wearing pants, so then it's mutter. So are you allowed to go to the YMCA? Everyone's wearing pants over there, right? So then you're allowed to bathe with a guy over there. You go to the swimming pool or something like that. But stop to bathe with a guy in a locker room situation, like something like that, whether you're not wearing any clothes, so then, according to the Ramah, if he came first, if the guy was there first, you're not allowed to go in afterwards. That's the Ramah paskins. So the Ramah goes with the Mordechai's Mahalach to answer up the question between the Mishnah and of Avodah Zarah and the Pirkei Eliezer. Most of the Taz, he disagrees with the Mordechai, and he says, no, that's not the way you answer them, the steer between the Mishnah and the Pirkei Eliezer. He says, no, really, Pirkei Eliezer is not talking about Isser B'chal. There's B'chal Isser, technically. And Pirkei Avos is just saying that like there's an extra mila of Tyra not to bathe with a guy. It doesn't say it's usher to bathe with a guy. It says if you bathe with a guy, it's like you're bathing with a mitzayra. It doesn't say you're not allowed to do it, right? You're allowed to touch a mitzayra technically. It makes you tummy, but why would you want to do that? But there's nothing wrong with it. So the Taz says really Pirkei Avos is not saying that. And then he says, So what's the halacha l'maisa? So the Taz says halacha l'maisa is that he doesn't care whether you came first, whether you didn't come first. It doesn't matter. He only holds to the second chalak of the Ramah. If you're wearing clothes, then if you're wearing pants, everything is mutter. If you're not wearing pants, nothing is mutter. That's what the Taz paskins.
The reason is not tumatara.
Right. It says because of erva, because of a chashash of erva. That's why he makes a chalak between wearing pants and not wearing pants. That's what the Taz passes. L'maisa, I looked at a few paiskim. It seems like the Olam goes, the Shach goes like the Ramah, that there's two heterim, and the Darki Tshuva goes like the Shach and the Ramah, yeah, there's two heterim. That one heter is if you came first, and the other heter is if you guys are wearing pants. So it sounds like, Shaila, I was musupik, what does it mean wearing pants? What's the heter of wearing pants? Let's say I'm wearing pants and he's not. Or he's wearing pants, I'm not. What then? Like, is it mutter or not mutter? I'm not. I didn't see what they say about that. But fine. That's an interesting piece of halacha l'maisa that comes out from this. Fine. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Yitzhak mal as Yaakov. Yitzhak Avinu gave a bris mila to Yaakov. The Esav moas b'mila, but Esav despised the bris mila. Kishem shemoas as a bachara, just like Esav despised the bachara, the firstborn right. Shemar vayivez Esav as a bachara. Esav despised the bachara, the firstborn right. So too, Esav also despised the mila. Right? What does it mean Esav despised the mila? So the Beis Hagadol brings three pshatim. Either it means that he did a, let's call it a surgical procedure, what we call Moshech Ba'arlasai, where he sort of pulled the skin around his bris mila and then like made it stick up to make it look like he still had a foreskin, even though it was batsim cut off. That's one pshat.
Because he was
dafka. Right, what? Right, because when he was 8 days old, he wasn't off the derech, right? So his father gave him, it seems, Pashup Shad is, his father gave him a bris, just like he gave a bris to Yaakov, you know?
Who
right?
gave him the first bris?
What? Yaakov. Mistama Esav, because he was the older. Al Pip Shat, Esav was the oldest.
So
here,
he gave to Yaakov.
No. One second. It says Yitzhak gave a bris to Yaakov, and then it says Esav despised the mila. It doesn't say that Esav didn't get a bris mila. It's the Pashup Shad is that Esav got a bris mila just like Yaakov did because they were 8 days old, they're little kids. Who said why wouldn't Esav get a bris mila, right? But when Esav got older, so he did this procedure called Mishaych Bar Lasai like to make it look like he didn't have a bris mila. That's one pshat. The second pshat that the Beis Hagadol says was that because Esav was born red. So therefore his father didn't give him a bris because like he looked like he was unhealthy. Beis Hagadol brings this pshat. Because he was red, he didn't want to give Esav a bris, and then when Esav was older, he was already off the derech and he didn't let them give him a bris.
It simply contradicts what it says about Eshkad.
One second, why?
Because it says that if Yaakov would have given Dina a circumcised person, she wouldn't have left an uncircumcised person.
But Rashi says that?
I don't know, Rashi, I don't know, maybe a different person. And then she would have had a circumcised person.
You're right.
Because you didn't, he got Shechem was uncircumcised.
I don't understand that. Maybe Rashi. He was afraid that Esav would take her.
I don't remember Rashi saying that.
I don't remember who said that, but I remember somebody said that a couple of weeks ago.
Somebody said that. I
don't see it in Rashi.
That's a different thing.
I have to look into it. So the second shot of the Beis Hagadol is that Esav never got his bris mila. He didn't get it when he was a baby because he was red, and then when he was older, he made sure that he didn't get it. The third shot, the Beis Hagadol says, and he says that this is more according to the kavana of what the Medrash is saying over here, is that what it means is that Yaakov got the bris mila and then he continued it for generations afterwards. He gave it to his kids and his kids to his kids, etc. Esav, he may have gotten the bris mila, but that was it. He didn't pass on the mitzvah to the next generation. That's what it means that he hated it. It was a separate mitzvah that Yishmael got for it with Bnei Keturah.
But they all have to do it, right?
My mom says that. See, because the marriage continues, it says like this. Minayin shehayu bnei moil. How do we know that the sons of Yaakov Avinu had a bris mila? Shneamar, it says in the pasuk by Shechem, it says, Ach bezeisi oisu lanu hu anoshim. Right? Shechem told the people of his city, he said, or maybe it was his father that told the people of his city that they're only going to want to be with us if we get a bris mila and then we can join together, right? So that tells us that the mikana told made from here you learn shebnei Yaakov hayu nimolin, that the sons of Yaakov had a bris milah, umalu levonehem, and they also gave a bris milah to their descendants, v'nichilu alachok olam, and they bequeathed it to their descendants as a chayk olam, as an eternal law, to have them Indian of bris milah. So we see that Yaakov Avinu continued bris milah. So the bicycle was saying, as opposed to Esau, who may have gotten it himself, but he didn't continue the mitzvah of bris milah. But ad she'omad paray v'gozay aleihem gzeirais koshois, until the Jews continued the mitzvah of bris milah, until Paro came and decreed upon them harsh deeds, umana mehem bris milah, and he withheld from them the inin of bris milah. Right in Parsha Shmois, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, so Paro made a bunch of decrees, and apparently, according to this Medrash, one of the decrees was that they're not allowed to do bris milah. The Mufarshim, all the Mufarshim, the Radal and Rabbi Leo Meizmir and Baruch Sagodol, they all bring other Midrashim that seem to say that the Jews of themselves didn't do bris milah when they were in Mitzrayim. Here it says that Paro made a gzir that they're not allowed to do it. In other places, it seems to say that they themselves didn't want to do it. But the Pashas is that Paro made the gzir. Why would they stop doing the mitzvah? The Radal brings a shtickle Torah from the Arizal. The Radal in the end of Eis Lamed Aleph brings from the Arizal that it says in the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, Hine am bnei Yisrael rav v'atzum imenu. If you take the words Hine am bnei Yisrael rav v'atzum imenu, Reshetavis, you get the word Hevirum. They made them transgress. Why did they make them transgress? Says the Arizal, if you take the end of the letters, Hine am bnei Yisrael, the last letters of the last letter of all those four words, you get the word Hamila. So the Rizal finds a remez to the fact that Paro forced them to discontinue bris milah in that pasuk of Hine Am Bnei Yisrael Rav V'Atzum Mimenu.
It's also the only thing they had. Also,
what other mitzvahs did they have? Well, they had, I don't know, Gita Nasha. They had maybe Yibum. They had other mitzvahs. Meiser, we spoke about before. Meiser. Okay, let's go weiter. Uviyam sheyotzu Yisrael miMitzrayim, on the day that Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, nimoylu kulam migadol ve'ad katan. All of the Jews got a bris milah, from the older people to the younger people. Everyone got a bris milah. Shenemar, because it says and the Radah points out. Because obviously, if they ate Korban Pesach, that means that everyone had a bris milah. Because if you don't have a bris milah, you're not allowed to Korban Pesach. If your son doesn't have a bris milah, you're not allowed to Korban Pesach. Right? So obviously, they all had a bris milah. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a Korban Pesach. Shemaiah says in the pasuk, "Ki mulim hayu chol ha'am hayetzim." All the people that were coming out of Mitzrayim were mulim. They had a bris milah. Pasuk in Yeshua that we're going to see in a few minutes that in the time of Yeshua in Perek Hay, when they were at Harvest Tzurim, so they had to Yeshua did a mass bris milah for all of Klal Yisrael. We're gonna have to see exactly why he had to do that, but it says that all the people that went out of Mitzrayim, they had a bris milah, but afterwards they didn't have a bris milah, or so it seems. V'aloichim dam milah v'dam pesach, they would take the blood of the bris milah and the blood of the korban pesach, v'hayunesin al mashkev batehen, and they would put it on the lintel of their doorpost, of their door. Uchesha'avar Kadosh Baruch Hu lingayf es Mitzrayim, and when the Kadosh Baruch Hu passed over to give a plague to the Egyptians to kill them by Makas Bechoris, v'ra'a es dam habris v'dam ha'pesach, and he saw the blood of the bris milah and the blood of the korban pesach that they put on their doorposts, nismali rachamim al Yisrael, Hashem was filled with mercy and Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'o'evar alayich, v'o'reich, I am going to pass over you and I'm going to see you mispeiseses bidomayich, bubbling in blood, v'o'emalach bidomayich chayi, and I'm going to say to you, through your blood you're going to live, v'o'emalach bidomayich chayi, and I'm going to say to you, through your blood you're going to live. It says it twice. So what's this inin of saying it twice? Why does it say it twice? I mean, that you're gonna live. So I'm saying, b'domayich, through your blood you're gonna live. So it's the fact that it says it twice, through your blood you're gonna live, through your blood you're gonna live. That comes to tell you they were talking about two types of blood. It was the blood of the dam korban pesach, and the blood of the dam Bismillah. That's what the Radal says over here. Fine. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer argues. He understands the double lashon to coming to teach us something else. Why does it say it twice? Your blood, you're going to live. If you want to tell us that it's talking the way Radal says it, it's like this. Like, if you want to tell us that it's talking about two bloods, so that we lay out just from a positive b'damayich, because b'damayich means your bloods. So why does it say twice, from your bloods you're going to live, from your bloods you're going to live? Rather, it's coming to teach us something besides what you just told us. Rather, Hashem said, in the merit of the blood of Bris Milah and the blood of Korban Pesach, I redeemed you from Mitzrayim. And in the schus of these two elements, you are destined to be redeemed at the end of the fourth kingdom, at the end of Malchus Golus Edom. You're also going to be redeemed in that schus. That's why it says twice, through your bloods you're going to live, through your bloods you're going to live. These two bloods are going to cause Klal Yisrael to live, both by the Geula from Mitzrayim and also by the Geula in the future. Yeah. Any questions?
I'm probably wrong. The Mal, when Am Yisrael was Mal.
Yeah.
I thought it was after they left the Midbar.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Here it would be before they shechted the Korban, or after they shechted the Korban.
The Korban Pesach?
Yeah.
Probably before.
Hard to say. Then they left.
No, yeah, it would have to be before, because if it was after, when you shechted the Korban Pesach, you were puzzled from eating it. So then you can't be part of the group. Yeah.
It would have to be at least 3 days before, 4 days before.
Maybe. To give them time to recover? It could be.
I think there's anyway, that's like the lamb already on the lamb. I'm not so sure what.
On the 10th.
What's the day of the Bris Milah according to the.
What's what?
The day of the Bris Milah according to the Torah. Wasn't it?
The eighth day?
No.
What do you mean?
The day that it happened. The date.
Then what happened?
The Bris Milah. The whole people.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say. It doesn't say when they got the Bris Milah.
I saw somewhere that it happened on Yud Nisan.
Yud Nisan? Okay, could be. I don't know offhand of a source that talks about it.
Fine.
But it makes sense. When Hashem first told them about Korban Pesach, then right away they got their Bris Milah.
Makes sense.
What? It's your birthday? Oh, I have to remember that. No, he's saying Yud Nisan is. By the way, I brought cakes for the Olam. What? No, I believe it's our 60th shir. So, in honor of the anniversary of our 60th shir. So the future Geula is going to happen in the schus of Dam Milo and Dam Korban Pesach. Says the Radal, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so there is no Korban Pesach. So how can Mashiach only come b'schus the Korban Pesach if we can't do a Korban Pesach? So the Radal says, Elamai, you have to say that what it means is that in the schus that when Klal Yisrael was mekabel the mitzvah of Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, that schus is going to last for us for Geulas Mitzrayim and for the future Geula b'mher b'yameinu. I didn't write this down, but I saw one of these Mizrahi Sfarim, like the Dati Lumi Sfarim. They bring down this Pirkei d'Eliezer and they ask the same question as the Radal. How could it be that it's going to be in the schus of Korban Pesach if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't do Korban Pesach? And then what? No. And they say, Elamai, it has to be that before Mashiach comes, we have to do Korban Pesach. That's what they say. In order to justify, I know people. I heard.
Tell people.
Every year on Erev Pesach, you don't hear about this sometimes you hear about this in the news. Every year Erev Pesach, people get arrested trying to bring a lamb up to the Har HaBayis. Every year.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
You've seen pictures.
Yeah, people do that.
Yeah. People are too busy to check the news Erev Pesach. But
yeah.
Okay. Let's go back there. Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. Rabbi Shmuel says, Le'ikiv Avram Mikol Asher Tzivahu. Avram Avinu didn't hold himself back from everything that he was commanded to do. Uchashenolad Yitzchak. I mean, he did everything right away. The day he got the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he did it that day, like we said in the beginning of the parak. When Yitzchak was born, when he was 8 days old, exactly 8 days old, he brought him for Bris Milah. He was 8 days old. I think the Radal says this. The Radal says that he did it tafka in the morning because Zrizin Makdimin, we don't find. We spoke about last week if Avram Avinu did Zrizin Makdimin because it said that he did it in the middle of the day, but it's like he did in Pashas, he did it early in the morning. Zrizin Makdimin. V'higishay l'mincha al gabay ha-mizbeach. And Avram Avinu brought Yitzchak as a mincha on top of the mizbeach. What does that mean? He brought Yitzchak as a mincha on top of the mizbeach. So you might think that this is some sort of allusion to the Akedas Yitzchak, but it doesn't make any sense because, like, we're not talking about Akedas Yitzchak over here. We're talking about Bris Milah, like what Shaychas. Akedas Yitzchak happened years afterwards, and the Radal points out Akedas Yitzchak. We have a whole discussion about Akedas Yitzchak. Perek Lamed Aleph. This isn't Perek Lamed Aleph. This is no Shaychas. So the Radal, and as well as the Marzu, they explain that what's happening over here is that it's based on what we said last week. Last week we spoke by Richus about this idea that a Bris Milah is like a carbon, right? Remember last week we said that a Bris Milah is like a carbon? So we're saying that when Avram Avinu gave Yitzchak a Bris Milah, it's as if he brought him as a mincha on the Mizbeach, like as if he brought a carbon. It doesn't mean that he brought Yitzchak as a carbon, but it means that when he gave him Bris Milah, it's as if he brought him as a carbon. V'asa simcha u'mishta, and Avram Avinu made great happiness, and he made a mishta, a meal, a party. Mikan amr chachamim, from here the chachamim tell us, chayev adam la'asa simcha u'mishta ba'aysa hayoyim shezocha lomul es b'noi. A person is obligated to make a happiness and a meal on the day that he is merited to give his son a bris milah, k'Avram Avinu, just like we find by Avram Avinu. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Vayas Avraham Mishta Gadol, Avraham Avinu made a big meal, B'yom Higomel Es Yitzchak, on the day that he weaned Yitzchak. That's the Pashup Shah in the Pasuk. B'yom Higomel Es Yitzchak, Pashas means on the day that he turned 2 years old and his mother stopped nursing him, he made a big party. That's Pashup Shah in the Pasuk. But Taisis in Mesach HaShabbos, Daf Kuflamet Amud Aleph, says that Higomel Es Yitzchak refers to the day that Yitzchak Avinu had his Bris Milah. Why? Because it says, he gomel, take the word he gomel and split it in half. Hey gimel and mol. Hey gimel is, hey is 5, gimel is 3, 5 plus 3 is 8. So biyoim 8, mol, on the 8th day he got a bris milah. So Avraham Avinu made a mishnah gadol on the 8th day when Yitzchak got a bris milah. That's what how Taisus understands pshat in the pasuk. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbeinu Bachaye says that he made a suda on the third day after the Bris Milah, a similar idea. There's an Indian, the Hasidim have a minute to make a special party the third day after the Bris Milah, but Al Kapur of the Medrash over here saying that there's a chay of Adam to make a suda, Simcha Mishta, on the day that you make a Bris Milah. And that's why this is the source for halacha in Yerideus and in Reish Samachay, that the minhag in Klal Yisrael is that when you make a bris milah, you make a suda dafka that day. It was once at a bris that the suda wasn't on the day of the bris.
Is it considered when a suda?
What? Pashtus, because the way they did it. No, it was on Tisha B'Av. The bris was on Tisha B'Av, and then it was Tisha B'Av very late afternoon, like right before Shkia. They did the bris, and then they had a speech. And then they davened the Ma'ariv, and then they had the Suda. That's what it was. Behem Shechachal, yeah, it was like one Maimid. Al-Kapan, this is the source of the halacha that you make a Suda when you have a Bris Milah. Okay. Well, I wanted to say something else about this, but I don't remember what it was. Okay, whatever. Shloisha, okay, new topic. Shlosha inuyin hein. There's three types of afflictions. Yeah, inuy hatsoim, the affliction of a fast, the inuy beis hasurim, and the affliction of being in jail, the inuy hadarech, and the affliction of being on the road. Inuy hatsoim minayin. How do we know there's an inyan called inuy hatsoim, the affliction of a fast? Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, inesi v'yom nafshi, nafshi. I was afflicted in the fasting of my soul. So when you fast, it's a certain type of affliction. Rav Chaim Falachi points out that when we talk about this affliction of fasting, it's lav dafka fasting, but rather it refers to any type of withholding of physical pleasures. Because he brings a magic, the Haggadah Shal Pesach. We say on Leil Pesach, it says, Vanitza kel Hashem alaykei aviseinu, Vayishva Hashem es kaleinu, Vayaris onyeinu, Vesemalin vesachatzeinu. That we call that to Hashem, and Hashem saw our inui, Vayaris onyeinu. What's the inui? What's the affliction that we had in Mitzrayim? Says the Medrash of the Haggadah Shal Pesach, says, Vayaris onyeinu, zu prishas derech eretz. That is withholding from derech eretz, withholding from marital relations. So you see that that's also called an inui. Not just fasting, withholding from eating is called an inui, but also that's called an inui. And I point out that it's the same thing with all the chameshes inuyim that we say by Yom Kippur. The Torah says that on Yom Kippur, v'nisan estaf shesechem, you should afflict your soul. So what does that mean, afflict your soul? So Chazal tells me these five different things. Five different things. You're not allowed to eat and drink, you're not allowed to marry a relationship, you're not allowed to shmir, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to wear leather, all these different things. So all of that is included in inoy hatsoim, which is withholding of physical pleasures. Fine. Inoy beis vasurim, the affliction of jail. I think I was the only one in this room who was zeicha to feel that. Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk, what? Were you also in jail?
Yeah, well, what do you mean also?
I actually was in jail in Beersheba.
You were in jail? Oh, you visited jail?
Yeah.
Oh, visiting is different.
So I was actually in
jail. Oh. Shenema ino vakevel raglai. He was afflicted by kevel when he was like tied up. What? You went, what would you say? Oh. How do you know that going on the road is considered an affliction? Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Ina v'derech keichi. My energy was afflicted when I was on the derech. Okay. Now, says the Medrash, Umi inay haderech loymolu b'nei Yisrael. Because of the affliction of derech, of going on the road, therefore b'nei Yisrael didn't get their bris milah when they were in the desert. Shenama, it says in the pasuk, Ki loy moy sam baderech. Pasuk in Yeshua, again talking about that story where in Yeshua Perikhei, where they got a bris milah again. So it says, Ki loy moy sam baderech. That they didn't have a bris milah when they were on the road. So that tells us, why didn't they have a bris milah when they were on the road? So the manager is saying, because the when you're on the road, you have an inui, a certain affliction, a stress, a distress. So that's why they didn't have a bris milah. Okay. We'll get more into this in a few moments, but just pashat pshat. What is this inui baderech, the affliction of the road, which would be a reason why not to have a bris milah? So the Radal is an interesting discussion over here. The Radal brings a stira between two sources. What is the affliction of the road, which would be a reason to not have a bris milah? The first source is the Gemara Nedarim, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara Nedarim is talking about what happened in this week's parsha and parsha's Shmois, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give a bris milah to one of his sons, and then this like wild serpent came out and like swallowed him up, and then Tzipporah cut off the kid's arla, and then everything was beseder. Which I always found is like one of the most interesting stories of the, like, if you don't have like Torah Shabbat Peh, it's like you read it and it's like, what in the world is happening? Like a monster came and ate him, and then like she cut off her son's thing, and then she made some comment about Chasan Damim Lamulais. Like, what in the world happened? I mean, obviously, if you learn Chazal, Chazal tells what was happening. That they were going on the road, and they stopped in a hotel, and you know she had given birth to this kid on the way, and they stopped at the hotel, And Moshe Rabbeinu decided, no, we're not going to give him a bris milah because we're traveling on the road. And if we give him a bris milah and then we travel, it's going to be dangerous for him. Right? So therefore, he didn't give him a bris milah. And the Ran says, the Ran in the Dharm explains that what happened, the taina that Hashem had on him was that this hotel that they stopped at wasn't really so far away from their destination in Mitzrayim. So like they could really give him a bris milah and then just walk a little bit further and it won't be such a big deal. Yeah. So that's why Hashem said this whole thing to try to punish him until he did the bris milah. But what do you see from this Gemara? And especially a little bit more on the Ran, what you see is that the problem of having a bris milah when you're going on the road is if you give him a bris milah and then you go on the road, it's dangerous. Yeah? Fine. The Gemara Yevamos.
So it sounds like the danger was the derech itself was a danger because there's no bris milah there.
What?
And there was I understood it like a different way. From the two psukim in Tehillim and Yeshua.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have bris milah, they were afflicted in the derech. There was inui in the derech.
No, the Medrash is saying that there's three types of afflictions which can affect a person. That's like the opening of to this discussion. And then one is when you fast, one is when you're in jail, and one is when you're on the road. And then it's saying this. Now we're talking about this affliction of being on the road. This affliction of being on the road was the reason why the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't get their bris milah. That's the pshat in the Medrash. So the question is, what's the affliction of being on the road? So the Radal is basically bringing from this sugya in the Nedarim that it sounds like the affliction is if you have a bris milah and then you go traveling, it's dangerous. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara in the Nedarim, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to give his son a bris milah because he said that if I give him a bris milah now and then we go and continue traveling, it's going to be dangerous for him. Right? What? Now the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis through Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says like this: that the Jews in Mitzrayim, the Jews in the Midbar, did not have a bris milah, like we're talking about over here. It brings the same psukim in Sefer Yeshua. The Gemara says, "Ubamidbar Ma'itayma." In the Midbar, what's the reason that they didn't have a bris milah? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. The Gemara says, "Ubamidbar Ma'itayma le'mahul." In the Midbar, what is the reason that they didn't have a bris? The Gemara gives two explanations. Ibayis Ema Mishum Chusha Du'urcha. First Pshat is, if you want, we can tell you that the Pshat is because of Chusha Du'urcha, weakness of the road. I mean, because they're traveling so much and they're very weak, so their bodies won't be able to handle it. They're too weak to get a bris milah. Ibayis Ema Mishum Delay Nashiv Luhu Ruach Tzfainis. Or we could tell you that the reason why they didn't have a bris milah is because the northern wind wasn't blowing when the Jews were in the Midbar, and the northern wind helps heal a bris milah, and without it, it'd be very hard to get healed. So therefore, they didn't get a bris milah. Tisanya, because we learned in a brisa, it says, "Kol ois and abayim shenu shayu saw ba midbar leinashu lamruch tzfainis." Those 40 years that the Jews were in the Midbar, the northern wind didn't blow for them. And then the Gemara says, "My taima, why didn't the northern wind blow for them when they were in the Midbar?" So it says another two explanations. One pshat is that they were, because Hashem made them nezufim, they were, how do you translate it? Let's say they were sort of excommunicated. Hashem rejected them. They were disgraced. Hashem rejected them, either because of the story of the eagle or the story of the meraglim, different explanations exactly what reason is, but they were disgraced. Hashem didn't give them northern wind. The other reason is Hashem didn't have the northern wind blow because they would, if they blew, they would blow away the Anani covered, and then the Jews wouldn't have the Anani covered. That's an interesting idea because the whole ending of the Anani covered was a miracle itself. So like, if Hashem making a miracle to bring Anani covered, so then why can't He just also make a miracle that the northern wind could blow and the Anani covered won't go away? That just goes to tell you that Hashem doesn't like or doesn't want to bend the rules of nature too much. We're not going to also make another miracle that despite the northern wind blowing, the Nanikov aren't going to go in. I think that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. Akoponim, what comes out from the Gemara is, there's two explanations. Why didn't the Jews in the Midbar get a bris milah? No. What are they? Well, the two explanations, Chulsha de Orcha, because they were weak from traveling, or because the northern wind didn't blow. Now, what does it mean they were weak from traveling? It sounds like because they're traveling through the Midbar, so their bodies are very weak, and if they would have a Bismillah, you know, their bodies wouldn't be able to handle it, they wouldn't be able to recover, it would be dangerous for them. Yeah? So that's the exact opposite of what we saw from Nadarim. In Nadarim we saw, the Radal points out, in Nadarim we saw that the problem is if you get a Bismillah and then you travel, it's dangerous. Here in Yevamos we see that if you're traveling and then you have a Bismillah, it's dangerous. It's an interesting contradiction over here. So the Radal answers it like this. He says that the Gemara in the Dharam is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu was traveling on a chamar. He put his kids and his whole family on the donkeys, says the Mufurish and the Pesukim, and then they were traveling on donkeys. So over there, the body is not weak because you're not really doing most of the traveling, you're just sitting on a donkey. So there, what's the problem? So the Iker problem is going to be that after the Bismillah, if you continue traveling, so you know, being outside and exposed to the elements is going to be bad for the healing process. That's one Nakuda. But the Jews in the Midbar, there was another Nakuda. They weren't all riding on donkeys. People were walking. When you're walking, your body gets weaker. So therefore, there was also the added idea of, since they were weak, they weren't able to get a Bismillah. So it seems like by the Jews in the Midbar they had both. By Moshe Rabbeinu's son, he only had one. Okay, let's go weiter. What time is it? Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says, okay. So until now we're saying that the Jews in the Midbar didn't do Bris Milah when they were in the Midbar, right? Yeah. What?
To go back to the same question, though, it seems like he's a poster himself.
We said the Jews.
I'm asking, they didn't have one in the Midbar.
No, we said the Jews that came out of Mitzrayim right before they left Mitzrayim, they got a Bris Milah. So the Jews that were leaving had a Bris Milah.
So now we're talking about the
40 years that they're in the Midbar, they didn't have a Bris Milah.
Okay.
Still,
the question is, Moses and Aaron were Maldem in the Midbar.
No,
believe,
no, he didn't say that.
Or Matt and Torah.
He didn't say that.
That's the question I'm asking. Yeshua was Maldem before
they... No, so we never said that they had a Bris Milah before Matan Torah. We said they had a Bris Milah before they left Mitzrayim.
I know, but that was my question. Well, I thought they had
them. No, we didn't say that. That's going to be the next line that the manager is going to ask. Till now, we said that the Jews in the Midbar did not have a Bris Milah. Rabbi Shmuel says, "V'chi Yisrael shalei nimolu shamu kolo yishal kodesh baruch hu al har Sinai v'nasal ha'mitzvah Torah." Is it possible to say that the Jews who didn't have Bris Milah because they were in the Midbar, they heard the voice of Hashem at har Sinai and He gave them the Torah to people that didn't have a Bris Milah? Is it possible to say such a thing? Chas v'shalom, either heaven forfend to say such a pshat. Rather, you have to say nimorlin hayu. Really, they did have a Bris Milah in the Midbar. Ela shalai hayu lehem priya, but they didn't do priya. Right? Priya. There's two steps to Bris Milah. There's cutting off the foreskin and then peeling back the skin so that the Torah is exposed. Right? So they did Milah, but they didn't do Priya. And the halacha is, V'chol mi shemol v'lay para esem Milah kilo l'mol. Anyone who does Bris Milah, but doesn't do the Priya, it's as if he didn't do the Bris Milah b'chol. Right? Therefore, U'kishabar Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua, Hashem said to Yeshua, Yata yedea she'en Yisrael nimoylen kisikonon. Don't you know that the Jews are not circumcised according to the letter of the law? Chazar u'molay sampam shnia. Right, go back and give them a Bris Milah a second time. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, molas bnei Yisrael shenis. Go and circumcise the Jews a second time.
Before Matan Torah.
What?
Before Matan Torah.
No, we're talking about Yeshua. Yeshua is
saying. So what the Shiloh is on
Matan Torah. No, so we're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that. So we're saying.
Yeah,
No, so the answer is that we said before the Jews in the Midbar didn't have a bris milah, right? So now Rabbi Shmuel is coming along and arguing. He's saying, no, the Jews in the Midbar really did have a bris milah. Because how can you say they heard Matan Torah and they didn't have a bris milah? Of course they had a bris milah. Rather, they didn't do priya. And when we say that Yeshua did a bris milah for the people that didn't do it, it's not talking about really bris milah. It's talking about people that had a bris milah but not a priya.
Matan Torah, the Am Yisrael that accepted the Torah had milah but no priya.
Right.
It's interesting because
it's
the Kol Mi Shema
Lo Paras Amilu Kilu Lo Mal. Yeah, we keep it, but that's not really. It's not literally Kilu Lo Mal. It's Mal, but not with Priya.
You have to say that.
Yeah, we keep it Kol Ha'al Aralais Acha Asayisam Kagiva, and Yeshua took all the Arlas, all the foreskins of the Jews that got their bris milah, and he put them together like a big mound. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, "Vayomel es bnei Yisrael el givas arlois," and he circumcised the Jews in this place called Givas Ha'arlois, in the mountain of the foreskins. Ulu Rada brings an interesting idea from the Zayis Ranan, that the Zayis Ranan says that the reason why he had to do it again is because when you do milah without priya, so it looks like. Unless you're an older person or whatever, then the atara is not exposed, and it looks like you don't have a bris milah. And that line in the Zayis Ranan, Aristotle, the Radal brings this down. And then I saw Sefer that called Ali Zayis on the Yalkut Shemayni, where he asks, the Zayis Ranan doesn't say this, but the Zayis Ranan does say. He says it in the Yalkut Shemayni and Yeshua, not the Yalkut Shemayni Parashas Lech Lecha. It's like in a different context.
Not that this is a kasha, but I still don't fully understand.
Yeah.
The people that left Egypt were different than the people that entered Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
The people that left Egypt spent Arbayim Shana Mal B'li Priya, and the people who grew up there were not Mal.
The people.
And then Priya became a halakha when they entered Eretz Yisrael.
Let's say it like this. The people that left Egypt, everyone agrees they all had a complete bris milah. The people that left Egypt.
Yeah.
The people that were born in the Midbar. So according to the way I understand it, it's machlokes over here. According to the first pshat, they didn't have a bris milah because of inoy aderech. According to Rabbi Shmuel, of course they had a bris milah, just they didn't do priya. And then, according to these two explanations, you'll have to explain what happened in the time of Yeshua. According to the first pshat, that they didn't do bris milah b'chlal in the Midbar. So then, what happened in the time of Yeshua was that they got a bris milah in the time of Yeshua. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that they had a bris milah in the Midbar, they just didn't do priya. So what happened by Yeshua was that they redid the bris milah so they could do priya, but they already had that.
Not a redoing. That's my point. And the new people.
Because I'm talking about all 40 years in the Midbar, did they do bris milah or not? That's what the two explanations are talking about.
The new people, right. The old people that came out of Egypt were already mal.
Right.
Just the new people who...
We're only talking about people who were born in the Midbar. Right.
Not mal and not...
Either according to the Tanakh, Kilo or called the Tanakhama, they weren't mal, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, they were mal, but they didn't have priya.
No, according to him, I'm arguing they even weren't mal. The people who received the Torah were the ones who left Egypt. The 7 weeks from leaving Egypt.
You're saying, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're saying Rabbi Shmuel is only going on those 3 months between leaving Egypt and coming to Har Sinai.
Those people
had milah b'lo priya. And then the rest of the people, he agrees to the Tanakhama that they didn't have milah b'chlal. It could be. Well, just to speak out a little bit better, clearer, what was Rabbi Shmuel's raya? Rabbi Shmuel's raya.
Interesting. You inferred that the parents didn't give bris milah to their kids. But this is a different generation.
That's a challenge.
But it's by Yeshua. By Yeshua.
Yeah, by Yeshua. They have a mitzvah and then they
have
Yisrael.
So what happened there?
And they didn't do Korban Pesach all those years anyway.
Right.
Why say the second time also?
Rabbi Shmuel said that Chas v'Shalom to say that the people that were by Har Sinai got the Torah and they didn't have a bris milah. So the question is, who are we talking about over here? If everyone who left Egypt had a bris milah, so we're just talking about the people that were born.
The people that were born
the very few little kids that were born in those 3 months since they left. So like that's Rabbi Shmuel's like chatz v'sholom that they heard that they got the Torah without having a bris milah. We're talking about a few little kids. They're all less than 3 months old. It's like what's the problem? So the Marzu says, the Radal says that Echanami, that's what we're talking about, because we want to say that all of Klal Yisrael had bris milah. That's what he understands. The Marzu says it slightly differently. He says that even though we're talking about just those kids. But he says that the older fathers, he wants to say that just like the halacha is that if your son doesn't have a bris milah or your eved doesn't have a bris milah, you're not allowed to carbon Pesach. So Rabbi Shmuel understood misvara that if your son doesn't have a bris milah, it doesn't make sense to say that you would be able to be makabel the Torah. If you can't eat carbon Pesach, then like kilo kol shekin, you wouldn't be able to be makabel the Torah. So it'd have to be that everyone had a bris milah. Because otherwise their fathers wouldn't be able to be mekabel the Torah. Not just the little kids. We don't care about necessarily, we're not focusing on the little kids. We're focusing also on the fathers of the little kids. Yeah.
Of course the same question would be asked. Even though it was Inuit, those are by Yom, they still were sitting in the Ananah Kavod. Their clothes didn't, shoes and their clothes were fine. They could have been modeled. Of course, the same thing. That they weren't, but it's very interesting.
It's a nice one. Right.
You're learning Torah day and night.
You should do it. It's very interesting. It's a chiddush to say you
weren't
out. Right.
They should have been
out.
A mitzvah.
Okay, let's go weiter. So now we're going in Rabbi Shmuel, who says that really the Jews in the Midbar did have a bris milah. I understood that it's going on all 40 years, that they had a bris milah but not priya. Rabbi Pomerantz is saying that it could be it's only talking about till Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah nobody had a bris milah. It could be. I didn't see anyone who says such a shot. But the Medrash continues and says like this. V'hayu Yisrael leichin esa arla v'esadam u'machasin yisam ba'afar hamidbar. The Jews would take the arla, the foreskin, and the blood from the foreskin, and they would bury it, they would cover it in the dirt of the desert. And when Bilam, the sorcerer, came, he saw that the desert was full of the arlas of Klal Yisrael. Amar, so Bilam said, "Mi yuchal lamaid b'schus dam bris hamila shehu mechus ba'afar? Who's going to be able to withstand? Who's going to be able to fight against the zchus, the merit of the mitzvah of bris mila that the Jews have over here hidden in the dirt? Shinemar, as it says in the pasuk, 'Mi mono afar Yaakov? Who can count the dirt of Yaakov?' So that's what Bilam saw. Yeah." It would seem that this is a continuation of the opinion that says, of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, that says that in the Midbar, they did do bris milah, but not priya. That's what it seems the Medrash is doing over here. And it's bringing a whole story that when Bilam saw these things in the Midbar, by the way, Targum Yonasan also says this in Parshas Balak, when Bilam saw all these arlas, he said, "Mi mana afar Yaakov." That's what it seems that the Medrash is doing over here. However, like this, Tesis in Meseches Yevamos on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. Tesis asks Akasha. The Gemara says, let's say the Akasha like this. The Gemara says that the Jews in the Midbar didn't do Bris Milah. Right? We said two reasons, either because they were weak or because the northern wind wasn't blowing. They didn't do Bris Milah. Says Tesis, but it says in Pirkei Eliezer that Mimona Afar Yaakov, that Bilam saw all that the Midbar was full of the oilers of Klal Yisrael. So it sounds like they did the bris milah in the Midbar. Ah, Kasha. That's what Tesis is Kasha. Tesis in Yevamos, Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. So if we're understanding Pirkei Eliezer the way I'm reading it, it seems like it's not a Kasha, because there's a Machlokes. The Tana, what I call the Tana Kama, understood that when they were in the Midbar, they didn't do Bris Milah. And Rabbi Shmuel understood when they were in the Midbar, they did do Bris Milah. And this is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel. This story of Bilam is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel. But Tesis asks this as a Kasha. Actually, Tesis doesn't say the word Kasha. Tesis says, Mashma d'le mohu klal. But Pirkei d'Eliezer, Mashma, Shmuel. Yeah, he sort of brings it out as a stir. It doesn't say kasha, but Tezis brings it, seems to say that there's a difference. But according to our Pekadilla, that's such a big question, because we already see that there's a machlekes over here. So the Gemara is going like the Tanakhama, that there was no bris milah in the midbar, and this marriage over here about the Bilam is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel, that they did do milah in the midbar.
He understood that maybe this portion of the previous Rabbi was going on like not like one of the Mandi Amar, it was the previous Rabbi itself, not going with one of the.
You say it's going back to everyone.
Yeah.
This line is going back. It could be.
Tesis,
you would have to say that Tesis understood that this line is going according to everybody. So how do we understand it? So the most of the Rishonim in Yevamos all discuss it. Ramban, Rashba, Ritva. The Rashba says the Teretz that really our Medrash over here that says the story that Bilam saw all the Orlos of Kal Yisrael, so that's going according to the opinion in the Gemara that the reason why they didn't do Bris Milah is because the northern wind didn't blow, and the reason why the northern wind didn't blow is because Kal Yisrael was rejected by Hashem. And when did that happen? After Matan Torah. So therefore everything is good, because it could be that our pick in the Blazer is going at the point where they did Bris Milah before they got rejected, and all their orlos were around over there, and the Gemara is talking about what they did after they got rejected. They didn't do it anymore. That's how the Rashi wants to answer it. It's a shtickel teichik, because Bilam lived like that. The story with Bilam was like 40 years after Har Sinai, so it's hard to say that they buried the orlos in those, let's say, those 3 months till they were rejected, till the northern wind stopped blowing. Right, let's say the 3 months till Matan Torah. If you learn that's because of the eagle, Rashi says because of the eagle, that's why they got rejected. Or if you learn because of the Meraglim, so let's say another year and a half, But the rest of the next 39 years, right, they weren't doing Bris Milah, according to the Gemara. So then, how do you explain it? How do you explain Bilam seeing it, which was in the last year of the Midbar? So it's a shtigl shver Rashba. I wrote in my Sefer on Yevamos, Hamakom Merachik, on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. So I brought that the Ralbag and the Barbanel in Parshas Bahaloscha, they write that the whole first year they stayed by Har Sinai. So the whole first year they were doing Bris Milah. It's still the same Teichik, because okay, Bilam was talking about 39 years later,
and in a different place.
By Arvus Mayav, it's not talking about Har Sinai. Actually, I didn't write that Ha'ara, but that's a good Ha'ara also. So the Rada wants to answer.
Of course, he could see.
What?
He could see
everything. I didn't write this down, Chaval, but somebody wants to answer that it's talking about Bnei Levi. Rashi in Chumash. Do I have a Chumash here? Yeah. Rashi in Parshas V'Zeis HaBracha, it says in the Pasuk in the V'Zeis HaBracha by Oshkech, Levi Omar to Bechel V'Yachel 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 What does it mean, Bris Chayin Tzeru? Bris Milah. Bnei Levi kept Bris Milah. She'oisam she'nel de b'midbar shel Yisrael lo'y molu es b'neihem. V'hem hayu molin umaran es b'neihem. From the people that were born in the Midbar, Rashi says that all of Kal Yisrael, they didn't do Bris Milah. But the Bnei Levi, they dafka did do Bris Milah. So you could say that these mound of these orlas that Bilam saw in the desert is talking about after the orlas of Bnei Levi. And the question is, how does that fill up the whole desert? You know, Bnei Levi is not so much. Okay, I don't know if that's such a good question. This is what somebody, I don't remember who says this pshat. I can't remember who says that pshat. Maybe it's some sefer, somebody brings that Rashi to answer this Tesis's question. But it's the Radal.
Yeah, also the Pasuk says,
it sounds like the whole Kali Yisrael, you want to say. The Radal says a different Nukuda. The Radal wants to answer that when when it says that Bilam saw the oilas covering under the dirt in the Midbar, so he says that it's lav dafka that Bilam actually saw it. Rather, Bilam saw some sort of vision, or through his kisa, through his witchcraft or whatever, he saw means he realized this chus of the mitzvah of bris milah and decided that he can't fight against it. But that doesn't have to do with actually seeing it. That's what the Radal says over here. And then I found that the Meiri in Yevamos.
Good, because it says mechusavah.
Right.
You can't count what's
mechusavah. You can't, yeah. And the Meiri in Yevamos, Ayin Aleph and Beis, says the same chat as the Radal. It says that Bilam didn't actually see it. He saw like a vision of it. I want to say that could be that the pshat. It says ukishe Bilam hakoisim ra as kol midbar. Why does it have to say Bilam the magician? Bilam the sorcerer saw it. Just say Bilam. We know who Bilam is. Bilam ben Baor. Well, why is the Medrash over here dafka give Bilam this title? Bilam akaisim. So I think the Medrash is trying to be miramis to this idea that he didn't actually see it. He saw like a vision or something like that. We'll get next week Medrash, and we'll speak a little bit more about this Medrash of Bilam seeing the orlas in the dirt. We'll speak a little bit more about that, and then we'll try to finish the parak. I'll end off with a ha'ara that I had this evening. It says in Parshas Kiseitze, it says by Amalek, when Amalek went to fight Klal Yisrael, so it says Vayizanev b'cha kol necha shalim acharecha. Vayizanev b'cha kol necha shalim acharecha, that Amalek went and attacked the laggers of Klal Yisrael, the people that were like behind the rest of the machana. That's who Amalek went and attacked. Vayizanev l'cha, vayizanev is less like a zanav, is like a tail, right? So Rashi says, what does it mean? Vayizanev b'cha kol nechashalim acharecha. Rashi says that what they did was makas zanav. They smit the Jews with the smiting of a tail. What does that mean? Chesech milais. They cut off their bris milas. Vizerik klape mala. And they took the Amalekim, cut off the bris milas of the Jews, and they threw them upwards. And the Medrash says, in the Medrash Tanchuma, it says that, and they would say, look where Hashem has got you. Look, where's Hashem going to help you now? They cut off their bris milas and they threw them up. Now, this happened, what's it called? The story of Amalek happened before Matan Torah, right? The end of Parshas Bishalach, before Matan Torah. So, if you understood that everyone who came out of Mitzrayim was already had a bris milah, so what these people who had orlas, who is it talking about? It's just talking about the kids that were born like within those like few weeks, that Amalek happened to catch those kids, cut off the bris milahs and throw them up in the air.
By cutting off the bris milah, talking about the orla, talking about the whole bris.
Rashi says, Rashi says mulin, that they cut off the bris milah. You're right. There is a mashmos in the Targum Yonasan over there. I didn't bring it with me, but Targum Yonasan says that like they cut off their guvrehen, their manlihood. So it could be that Targum Yonasan understood that they cut off like that whole aver. But it seems like from Rashi, it sounds like they cut their bris and they threw it up in the air. I'm not sure exactly. I don't understand it. Okay, we'll stop over here, and next week we'll go weiter. Later.